Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Back in the podcast. Dun, dun, dun,
yeah. Dun, dun, dun. Back in the podcast again.
Yeah. Who's that? Who's that guy from Michigan who's a classic rocker that
Bart. Bob Seger?
Yes, Bob Seger. The one. Yeah. Nice. You reminded me. I don't know. I haven't listened to a damn musical thing he's done. But
I haven't listened to a damn music song in so long.
Yeah, but for whatever reason.
Also, what talking you did, word sentences, also yeah. Bad.
I know. What you did, though, made sense. Felt like it.
You're mainly into his spoken word stuff.
I'm into the fact that I guess this entire time, I did not know this until last week, that he did the song. Like a rock, oh, like a rock. Like
absolutely, he did. He dug deep down in
how
his
did you
muscled,
not know this?
His muscled heart. Honestly,
I was the Ford truck song.
Truly, I didn't know that for
you thought a
truck
while. Sang it. Okay,
I didn't know that for a while because it seems so purely elemental that song seems like it sprung fully formed from the mind of Odin or something. You know,
sure,
yeah,
but it didn't. It was same thing with Seeger.
Yeah, I thought a Toyota Tundra came up with it.
Yeah. No, the song hatched out of a Toyota Tundra.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
If you look, you guys, you're going to want to buy a Toyota over any car. You're going to see the opportunity to buy a Chevy Equinox for $10,000 less. Don't. Buy the Toyota. Priuses run well into their 300,000s.
And then you're going to see a Taurus for $300, and you'll be like, what? And they'll be like, yeah. You'll be like, is there something wrong with it? And they'll say no.
No,
but
not
like
yet.
They say it, they look sick and they just want to get rid of it, you know? They're like, no, no, there's nothing. Just take care of it.
Or looks sick.
Just get get rid of it. I need someone to take it, so it's their problem.
Dude, I'm not even joking. Everyone, if you want to laugh, go on to whatever your local Craigslist is. Mm-hmm. And there are dudes selling 2002 Toyota Tundras. For $5,000 still, like 200,000 miles on them, and people are like ready to buy them. They are ready to buy them. They love
collectors.
Them. They're so reliable.
Can you breed them? What?
Absolutely. You gotta. Ooh,
they're wonderfully reliable cars. I'm telling you.
And you can breed them. Trucks love each other very much.
You can breed them for their shaggy hides and delicious meat, and just because it's fun to watch.
Yeah, you get a Nissan Range, you get a Ford Ranger and a Nissan Titan, and you just watch them go.
That's how a Taurus is made.
Welcome to our podcast. We watch trucks fuck.
Welcome to Watch Truck Fuck, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Fight Island, the world's. I almost said my other podcast intro. Good luck with that one, Danny. How about this
the
one?
The world's most radarist werewolf.
Welcome to Fight Island, the podcast about fictional fights and the very real island where they take place. My name is Jordan Dahl.
I am Sam Wiles.
Joining us this week, delighted to introduce very funny and talented person, our new producer, Danny Feltz, is joining us.
Boom, got him. Had to dab on him.
He's dabbing on the Zoom.
Dabbing on the Zoom.
Had to dab on him.
Dabbing on Zoom. So glad to have you here, because any like fuck ups we do, any of the horrible things that Sam says that I usually have to pick out, like so many hairs and spaghetti. Now that's you. You're going to do that, and you're much more skilled at it than I am.
Sometimes I pitch down people's voices just when I want to have a good time.
Nice.
Yeah. I think that's smart.
Yeah.
Can you make me sound like a Dracula the whole time?
Absolutely. I'll do it. I'm going to do it right now.
Can you? Oh, no.
Yeah.
My ears are bats.
He's doing this it in real time.
This is amazing. And now it's done.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, that hurt. It hurts when you do that. Cough up a little blood.
Little do you know, when someone makes you sound like Dracula, it's sort of a physical condition. You get a bit of an angina, you get some chest tightness.
No,
you know, that's Dracula related.
That is the first sign of Draculitis. I am up in the mountains. I'm up in Copper Mountain, Colorado. You guys know where that is?
No. Where is it?
It's nestled in the valley between Vale and Frisco. And they have a tremendous storm. A crazy blizzard blew in to Colorado. Me and my girlfriend like to get an Airbnb and go and kind of isolate somewhere else sometimes. And this was the selection for this time. And boy, we got hit with a real God killer.
An opposite barn burner.
Oh, a real barn putter outer.
Yeah, a real barn freezer.
A barn extinguisher. A real Michael Crichton of a storm.
I finally got my barn on fire.
And what should come flying through is winter storm.
Worst luck.
Zizelia or something? It's got some crazy exotic name.
You reminded me.
Alien Queen.
It had to have been like 1998, like when Jurassic Park came out. I decided, as like a precocious like 10-year-old, that I would read Michael Crichton's Jurassic Park. And I remember opening the first page and I think that I even remember the name of the title. The first chapter was The Hypothesis. And I got exactly 2 pages in before
I did a similar thing with Stephen King and The Eyes of the Dragon. I was like, oh, cool. This is like a dragon, but Stephen King thing.
Yeah.
And I started reading it, and I was like, oh, no.
Dude, the craziest thing I did as a 23-year-old was read The Stand, a 1,200, 1,300 page
book. That's a lot, yeah.
It's a thick boy. They're
yet again making it into a TV show that no one's going to watch.
They keep trying.
With like fucking, who's the guy who wrote Hamilton? I always forget his name.
Oh.
Lin-Manuel. I think Hamilton's going to be in it.
George Hamilton, the tan guy.
Hamilton, the hipster cat from Instagram.
Wait, what is it? What is Lin-Manuel Miranda going to be? Randall Flagg? He's just going to be I'm evil.
You're not evil, Lin. You're cheeky. You're coy. Yeah. You're a sprat.
Yeah. I fucking watched Hamilton for the first time on Disney Plus, and I was like, this is what we were freaking out about.
Yeah.
I was like, I forgot the classic thing, which is that musicals are always musicals.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how good or acclaimed it is. It is now, always going to be a musical.
Now, despite what a good lead in that would be to fighting like musicals, we're not going to be fighting that today. We're not going to be fighting.
There's a bridge.
Any of the
there's
things.
A Segway bridge.
Oh yeah. Do you want to do it?
You know what another musical is?
Oh my God, he's doing it.
I know where he's going.
Land
it's
the
called
plane.
Cats.
God no! damn it. Fox. Well,
Black Box was destroyed. Oh God.
We're fighting producers today. Yeah. We're fighting producers of all walks. The producers can be from the world of music, the world of film. These can be fictional producers from a musical, a character, if you will, as always, this is Fight Island. operates by video game rules. So old people can fight gay people, men can fight women, dogs can fight babies, whatever needs to happen. Mm-hmm. The island craves craves justice. The island craves order. So there must always be a winner. Mm-hmm. There are three bouts. We're going to do a lightweight, a middleweight, and a heavyweight bout. And we're going to talk out who we think would be in each fight and ultimately vote on who we think would win in each fight. And those are kind of just the rules for any felt heads joining us.
This is
for the first time.
This is, you know, I'm finding very fast that most producers are heavyweights.
Yeah.
I feel like we're just going to end up with three heavyweights because I looked up just on a lark famous film producers.
And naturally.
Bam!
Sure.
A wall of faces that everybody has heard
of. And also, as we all mentioned earlier, they're all monsters. They are 201 complete
bad
monsters. If they're not in jail, they're on their way, most by and large. So feel free to get your hands dirty, fellas.
Yeah.
feel free to gouge some eyes, pull some hair. Who are your lightweight producers?
I'll throw out a lightweight. Get us started.
Please.
How about Moby? That's kind of a lightweight.
Moby could be a lightweight.
That's a lightweight guy.
You know what?
Absolutely.
I'm gonna throw something out there. Not necessarily as a lightweight yet, but I'm going to propose that you can have famous producers as lightweight or middleweights if you think they are bad producers.
If you think
the content they produce is terrible. And I feel like a lot of people are really not going to like this. But if that was the case, then I would put Judd Apatow in the lightweight.
Holy shit.
Shots
fired.
Fucking hate that guy. So everything he touched turns to dust.
You're not alone. And also, more recent Judd Apatow, people specifically don't like. I do like Judd Apatow stuff, and he's a huge listener. So Danny, welcome to the show.
yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I'm not like a huge Judd head or anything.
I am gonna exclude myself so that he will cast me in his next movie about rich people.
Judd,
Can I play one of the rich guys? No. You look like shit. You don't look
wait,
like a
come
rich
back.
Guy.
Kiss me. Still no. I like him as a lightweight because, you know, he's new to the game. He's a fresh face. His
really?
Sure. Well, I mean, 15 years is new in the producing game when you're going up against frickin', you know, some ancient son of a bitch from
Robert Evans
from the 20s or something like Robert Vaudeville.
Robert Evans is a middleweight to me.
He could be a middleweight. He could be if we did end up putting Robert Evans in the middleweight, I would have to insist on some sort of weird 70s or 80s producer of some sort also being in there as well. Just food for thought.
Sure. I think that's a good move. I think okay. So
Dr. Dre, if you want to stay music on music.
Okay. Dr. Dre versus Moby. That feels like a
slaughter.
Dr. Dre is a medium if not heavy. Mm-hmm. I gotta say.
This is kind of difficult because I think Moby is a really good lightweight, and yet I cannot think of anybody as weak as Moby.
he's so light, but that's the thing.
I think his powers come from being so weak. And it's like
truly.
A trick.
Truly.
He'll just be like, oh, I didn't have enough iron. I'm so vegan. And you're like, what? Yeah. And then you get stabbed in the neck.
Here's the thing. Fight Island is a place of contentious, fight energies that are constantly enhancing and augmenting the combatants who are summoned there, really, to sate its thirst for justice. So there's nothing that says Moby wouldn't be some sort of ghostly wraith who, you know.
Yeah.
Is so frail and so vegan that they can like just kind of like phase out of reality, you know, and one big swing from from Apatow. I love Apatow versus Moby. That seems too perfect.
Yeah, I think it's a good. Okay. I think it's a good story.
Okay. Yeah. All right, we're gonna lock it in. So the question before us is: who would win in a fight between Judd Apatow and Moby?
It's a battle of deeply annoying men to me.
Yes, it is. Dear God.
Deeply annoying class blind men.
They have no sight.
So yeah. I think quite literally in Moby's case, he would be kind of, you know, because he would have these kind of wraith like abilities, but also no sight, like a blind, like a cave frog or something, you know.
Yeah, he has a blindfold.
And it's got like it's a political message, but it's a dumb one.
Sure.
I think it's also worth mentioning too that, like, you know, Judd Apatow is very well known and still does a lot of things, but like,
sure,
he's well known for being a failure. Like, like everybody knows, like, people are like, yeah, Freaks and Geeks only got one season. Oh, but it deserved more. But it didn't. Like, his first thing
I
was
love
failing.
Freaks and Geeks.
He failed. Like, he stepped onto he was a writer. He was a writer throughout the 90s. And I can't say I disagree mm-hmm. with his writing because he wrote on a lot of famous, funny shows. But the second he got his own, like, one swing, it was like a... like, swing...
Danny Phelps!
Absolute,
coming
like,
in hot, first
just,
step.
Absolute, like, he got one season, and then...
Kingslayer.
Boom! Like, and then proceeded to make movies where he was just like, I'm going to do a Lost reference in this movie. It's going to be very topical and well-received in 2021.
Like, so would you say that he... one of his strengths is swinging big?
Yeah, I would say, yeah. I feel like he comes into this fight immediately just throwing a haymaker, but, like, potentially, like, tripping over a small comical rock.
Naturally.
And then just, like,
you know, he doesn't have to because he leans so hard into that first punch. And what does Moby do? Fades away. And then he pops back up with a new hit single.
Yeah. That nobody likes.
Like he does.
Yeah.
Except for me. I think it's a gym. Yeah. And because Apatow swung so hard, all Moby needs to do is ding in the back of the head, touch him, and he goes and just crashes and burns horribly in the gravel.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what Moby's weakness is.
Like, and then Moby's weakness is weakness. If Judd Apatow gets a hold of this guy, literally, just knowing nothing about his personal habits, just from body shape alone, he's going to swallow him like a taquito.
here's what I think happens. I think Judd Apatow's flaw, but maybe is a strength in this situation, is he does just make stuff about what's right in front of his face. Mm. He's turning 40. He's making a movie about being 40. His wife got pregnant. He's making a movie about his wife being pregnant. He's very practical.
Yeah. Moby, you remember when he made a movie called This Is Getting Up to Get Some Water in the Middle of the Night?
Yeah. And then did a whole stand-up special about buying a nice car because he's rich.
Totally.
Remember when he put his wife in every fucking movie he's ever made?
Do you remember when he hunted chimps and ate the meat live on TV? on Twitch.
And I think Moby is like a delusional weirdo sending Natalie Portman emails asking her to marry him or whatever.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
he was
a creep. Yeah.
He was like, we dated, and she was like, nah, bro. And he was like, but yeah, right?
And she was like, but we didn't.
Yeah.
And also I was a teenager and you were like 38 at the time.
Yeah.
I think the kind of like deluded perv that Moby is a sucker for Apatow.
Okay.
Apatow sets traps for that kind of guy perfectly.
Trapatows, he calls him.
Yeah, he sets a bit of a trapatow, lures him in with this narrative. Hey, what about a bald Gen X doofus who falls in love with Natalie Portman? What if I made that a movie? It's right over this pit of spikes covered in grass.
What about a guy who, if you squeeze him, you'll get like tofu water out of him, you know? Like you can put your fingers right into Moby. I'm
voting for Apatow for that reason. I'm putting in
my vote.
That I think Moby is an Apatow sucker.
See, I think with the Moby phasing abilities, it's gonna be Moby. I see Apatow taking that big swing. and Moby phasing out, and he just like lets him, you know, you made your bed here. I've got to go. I've got to go to the beat lab. And Danny, you're going to be a tiebreaker.
Okay. So originally I was for Moby beating him. However, I think what ends up probably happening is Apatow does take a gigantic swing, misses, and Moby does start doing a sort of like, you know, leech kind of, or lecherous sort of dementors suck on him.
Oh, yeah.
And Apatow, and Apatow at that point.
His protein sap is the move. He's a protein vampire.
Yeah, he's a psychic vampire of sorts. But Judd Apatow, he's just too thick in a way. Like, he's too dumb to be emotionally hurt by such a thing. Like, he starts sucking him like you can't bleed a stone. And it's very much a situation where he's like sucking his soul out and everything. And he just sort of like, when I was talking to Adam Sandler and Seinfeld back in the day, it was just so inspiring. And then Moby's just like, I can't pull anything from him.
There's nothing with it. And it's, whoa. And it's like, and then, Moby's wraith form gets sucked into Apatow.
Yeah. And like Apatow doesn't even know he's doing it. He's doesn't just like, yeah, I just want to make this movie. It's 2 hours and 40 minutes long, and it's not a Marvel movie.
And
like,
it's
Moby's wraith form is just trapped in Apatow's head, but he's stuck in like a loop of a story about Roseanne.
He becomes a character. That's it. Yeah. The only time he gets to pop up anymore is in Apatow movies, and he's just like, I just came through to get a juice, and like walks back to his room.
Whatever. And then Rob Schneider goes, holy moly, that was Moby.
Holy Moby.
Yeah. He literally comes into his movies casted as Moby. Self-casted. Comes
really relatable.
Stunt
cast.
Of course, because like he comes in the same way that LeBron James was in a fucking goddamn Judd Apatow movie as LeBron James. Damn it! I forgot about that. that has to be out. That's how it is.
Ding, ding, ding. Apatow takes it.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. With the by being inert, by being
being a stone,
vacuous.
Yeah.
He sucked Moby into his repertoire.
Yeah.
And Moby just wasn't. Moby just didn't. Honestly, from Jump Street, Moby just didn't have enough bone mass to make it happen. Ding, ding, ding.
Yes, I like this direction that this is going.
Sure.
So far, I really am into the Robert. What's his face?
Robert Evans.
Okay, middleweight producers. I love the idea of a 70s production off. You know, these
cocaine
guys.
Cocaine trafficker. Absolute maniac, Robert.
On so much cocaine, like, like testing it, like a medieval poison tester, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. This is peak Robert Evans. This is like after Chinatown.
He's
flying.
Yeah. Who could possibly? Everywhere. Who could possibly?
I have two. I think or three actually.
Okay.
Now that I think about it, so I think. I think I'm going to save the one that will probably end up being there for last, but I think it'd be kind of funny if he ended up fighting middleweight, somebody like an indie weird darling, like Brian Eno or Steve Albini. That would be kind of funny. It'd be kind of funny to me. And that's funny to me because they're both like weirdos, but also the thing that pops into my head as a natural, like, oh, well, this should make sense, is probably like Phil Spector. Phil Spector also fits in there very well.
Did we just fight Phil Spector?
We did. And,
Okay.
And, Joe Meek came up too. You remember, do you guys know about Joe Meek?
No, who's that? Yeah.
He is a true maniac. He's like the British Phil Spector. And, in the end, he, killed his landlady and then himself.
Very fun.
Huh.
Like
a lot of this producer content, it's a great time.
It's a good ass time.
Your Harvey Weinsteins, your Russell Simmonses, bunch of great dudes.
I do like the idea of somebody who's like so closely related to the 70s going up against somebody so intimately related to the 80s. That could be that's appealing to me.
Yeah. What about Spielberg? He's known as he's known more as a director, but he's maybe a more middleweight producer.
He is a middleweight producer.
Same with Ron Howard.
I kind of like a Ron Howard. He's got his fingers in everything.
Ron Howard is an excellent middleweight, and I'll tell you why. He is not, you know, when you think of producers, you never think of him first. He comes in and he sweeps up the scraps. He stitches movies together that have gone wrong. And he is very much like, even when I think of Ron Howard in a certain way, I don't even think of him as like a movie guy first. I think of him as like, oh yeah, you're a kid from Andy Griffith.
Or the narrator from Arrested Development.
Oh, you're from Happy Days.
Yeah. Or literally in Happy Days. Yeah. Yeah, he is. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that he is like a rich man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ron Howard. I think Ron Howard.
I like Ron Howard versus Robert Evans because that's two kinds of Hollywood.
And also, yes. It's one very wholesome Hollywood and it's one very...
And the sleaziest Hollywood you can have.
The sleaziest, gnarliest shit. Yeah, okay. So that's good. I'm going
to
lock him in.
I have to look up a picture of Robert Evans again.
He looks insane. Well, it rules.
Make sure you're not... You're not looking at a picture of just mahogany that somebody put a wig upon, because he's maybe the tannest anyone has ever gotten.
Yeah, he's tan wearing like a yellow turtleneck.
Guess when he died?
Tell me.
Today? 2019. he was around for. Oh, I thought he died in 93. Like this guy has been around for a hot minute. My God.
Also, the thing about it, Robert Evans's tan is, I'm sorry, I can't get past this.
Oh my God, he really is horrible. Oh God.
He's been tan forever. If you look at pictures of him in the 40s, it's like you couldn't have done that. They didn't have the technology to get that tan in the 40s without getting real close to the sun.
Okay. No, he was physically close to the sun.
Weird fact about Robert Evans. He had a stroke at Wes Craven's house in 1998 and then lived 21 more years.
Whoa. You seen Evans out there on the dance floor? He's really cutting it up for an old guy.
Is he like Sicilian or something? Because he's quite dark, I will say. Just naturally. Yeah.
Well, if he is, then I feel bad about all these tan cracks.
Our Sicilian audience is gonna go butt fucking insane.
We have a huge listenership in Sicily.
The amount of knife crime that's about to go up on the podcast.
No, please.
Drew and I are gonna get stuck. Oh no.
Please no. Yeah. Do you guys wanna go to as always Robert Evans Facts for Kids?
Yes, please. Yes,
of course, yeah.
I mean, those aren't the ones I wanna hear for sure. Look at him. My God, he looks like a face in a treasure chest that comes to life.
Yeah, he has a very like mannequin, like a wooden mannequin. Like,
very much so.
I don't think we've mentioned this yet, but just for people who aren't familiar with Robert Evans, he was the studio executive for like Rosemary's Baby,
Chinatown,
The Godfather, Chinatown, like all new Hollywood cinema in the 70s.
Guys, this is the funniest shit in the world.
Yeah. He has a section under his Wikipedia called cocaine trafficking. Yeah. Come on.
That's true. There,
on Robert Evans Facts for Kids. Facts for Kids is a wellspring. They've never let us down before.
Yeah.
There are two facts that Facts for Kids found suitable for Robert Evans, for kids to know about Robert Evans. And one is that he's a producer, and the other is that he's dead.
He did nothing suitable for kids his entire life.
Truly.
They're going to be like, oh, he had apparently he had a nickname. His name was Bob Cocaine Evans, which is that's a good way to really zhuzh up.
That's some half-assed nicknaming.
Good Lord. Which Robert Evans are you talking about? Robert Evans or Bob Cocaine Evans?
His name is two boring names, but they're like, oh, we gotta put something with a little more.
We gotta put literally the word cocaine in the middle.
Yeah.
I can't find it, honestly. I can't find any literal facts about him. I feel like the internet should be bubbling with Robert Evans facts.
So I think his, well, Jordan looks that up. I think his strengths, I mean, resiliency. Obviously. That much coke didn't stop his heart, how is Ron Howard going to?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, Ron Howard, he's kind of like an ent. Like he has mm-hmm. he's very like he is also wooden, but in a different way.
Yeah, sure.
You know, Robert Evans,
he's honestly probably more sustainable.
Like quite. Yeah, he is quite sustainable. This is
it's a real endurance off, I think.
Yeah, truly. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Robert Evans, he stayed somewhat relevant by never changing, baby. And this was him, you know, on so much cocaine. He sounded like super calm all the time. So I'd hate to see him when he's having a freak out, man. You know, he was always that. He was a, what's that? What do you call someone who is a kind of an obelisk in their time? You know, he is the 70s crystallized and just stayed that way. And people were like, that's Bob Cocaine Evans. We got to let him in.
Yeah.
And whereas Ron Howard, amorphous, changing,
shapeshifter.
We're talking Opie into fucking, what was his name on Happy Days? Happy. He was happy on Happy Days, and then he turned into a creature who was just a voice. You know, he can be just a voice, an omnipotent, an omniscient narrator of sorts.
He's got metafictive powers. He can not to bring him up, but he can Deadpool it a little. He can turn to the
Deadpool
camera.
He can
get a load of this guy. That
but
kind
here's
of thing.
Here's the thing about him. He's a pussy.
You know? Yeah. I feel like
Robert Evans would be like, let me get him in a pool with our jean shorts rolled up.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens.
He's just going to be telling him stories the whole time. It's just like, back in 1968, me and Jane Fonda were hanging out in Hanoi.
right?
How were you in Vietnam at the time?
All right.
Brother, how weren't you in Vietnam at the time?
You had to be there.
I think
Ron Howard maybe has
had the best yam yam in the Pacific Rim.
I think Ron Howard has an advantage in that he has been in Hollywood since he was a kid, and he knows how to kind of avoid this stuff. Fair. So if Robert Evans goes, hey, we're gonna have a cigarette smoking and not sleeping contest, and then Ron Howard's like, you know how many of those I've been offered?
I think I'm okay, Bob.
Yeah, I'm a normal guy. Yeah,
I think I'm gonna have an early night, maybe have cold chicken salad for dinner. What do you think, Bob?
So I think maybe he's resistant to Robert Evans' machismo and pressure.
Here's the thing. I think Evans, I'm going to lock my vote in. I think Robert Evans takes this. I think Robert Evans shows up to this fight tomorrow. He's dead. It doesn't matter. Yeah. he's got some bones showing, and he big times this kid into the ground, you know? Oh, right. You're Andy Griffith's kid, aren't you? Yeah. I remember your dad. He was a real piece of shit. And like proceeds to tell him all these stories, all while just like giving him cocaine fueled jabs to the Jack Johnson, like they did in the 40s.
Jordan, I'll provide a counterpoint. I think it's gonna be Ron Howard, and I think it's because Ron Howard works with a partner. He works with Brian Grazer.
Potsy.
Where Robert Evans absolute lone wolf all the time.
Yeah.
Brian Grazer comes in, cuts together a little trailer of Robert Evans' sad life. It bums him out. He loses his house in the 80s.
What the hell am I doing here?
He's a coke maniac. Yeah.
I got to go back to the grave.
Because Robert Evans loves the pictures. And Brian Grazer, he comes in, he manipulates him. He breaks him down. And I think very calmly, from Happy Days, comes over with a chair.
I like it. I'm going to throw one little twist in. I don't think it breaks him. I think what is it? Brian Glazer?
Grazer.
Grazer. He like sets up this wonderful trailer, and like you see a tear in Evans's eye, And he walks over and he's like, "You son of a bitch, you've done it. I want a piece of the action." And he starts like, he's like, that's an Oscar winner right there. The Robert Evans, the Bob Cocaine Evans story.
I will, you know what? Because I'm once again,
and then he gets the chair,
the tying vote. Or the tie-breaking vote, rather. Mm-hmm. I do think it is going to be Robert Evans that wins this one. Yes.
Bob Coke Evans, yeah.
I think he's going to come up, he's going to be like, I think Ron Howard's going to be like, "All right, so I just want to see if we could discuss the rules of this." And sure. He's just going to be like, "All right." like immediate knife. Just like, yeah. I can't be killed.
Truly.
Yeah. No patience, crazy guy act. Yeah.
I got a rule for you. Smash. Bottle, knife.
Yeah. I'm turning you into a meat pie.
I thought we were fighting here. I thought that's what we were doing.
Bob, I thought we could talk this. Oh, my throat.
And apparently when you mentioned that he had a stroke, but it was like he had a triple stroke. He had three strokes, right?
Three
in
of them, baby.
Which is so, I could just imagine him just being like,
like three of them.
Like looking into,
I gotta go home, sleep these off, bing bang boom, I got them out of the way.
Exactly. So
Bob Coke Evans takes it. Ding ding ding. All right, y'all, we're dipping into the fight that people have been waiting for mm-hmm. decades, centuries, I would say.
I think I have a good opener.
Heavyweight producers. All right, who's your heavyweight producer, Danny?
This is a man who mm-hmm. is ageless, I think, mm-hmm. literally mm-hmm. as well as figuratively.
Okay.
He's been active since the early 90s.
Okay.
And I truly do mean this. I do not know if he has some sort of hex or spell on him where he or some sort of Dorian Gray's painting.
Sure.
And I am of course speaking of Pharrell.
Yeah.
He quintessential producer who again does not look a day over 27.
Surely.
Bit of a Highlander.
Sure. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Pharrell is definitely some kind of long slender man type figure slipping between the musical notes, picking out the choicest cuts, you know. Pharrell's very good.
He was part of what was his original band?
NERD.
Well, that was his second band.
There's one, the Neptunes.
Oh, okay. Love Pharrell as a heavyweight choice. I'm gonna throw out in a lot of ways, the Pharrell of comedy movies, active since the 80s, the 1880s, Mel Brooks.
Oh, great. My God. That is a good... well, has he produced a lot of things?
Oh, come on. He was in the producers.
He has. Yes, he has. He has acted in a lot of things, right? I guess don't know his entire
internet.
Oeuvre. I know he wrote Mel a bunch of movies.
Brooks,
did he produce those?
A
movies?
Producer. Asking the internet. An American film and television director, producer, and writer. But
he always came out as a writer to me. He's
okay.
Always...
All right. All right, Danny. You've edited this in such a way that makes it seem like you're right. And so I'm going to go ahead and retract Mel Brooks. But who can we put in his place? Who else but Mel Blanc? Is he a producer?
Mel Blanc? Who's that? No, Mel Blanc is he's Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
You're right. He's a voice actor.
Yeah. It could be Pharrell. We could do Pharrell versus Dr. Dre. We could do
Pharrell versus Dre. That's
or Kanye. Kanye's a producer.
Kanye's a great
Pharrell
one too.
On Kanye.
Yeah.
That hot Pharrell on Kanye action.
Yeah.
Or a very confusing fight. Pharrell versus Robert Zemeckis.
Ooh, that's fun. Love it. I really love that. What about, I was going to say like, who's the guy? See, no, now we're getting into Now we're getting into directors.
I'm trying to, quintessential film producers.
Yeah.
I'm right. Film producers. Oh, Steven Spielberg. that's a good one for sure.
Sure.
It's weird. They put Quentin Tarantino as a producer, but he always comes across as a director to me.
Yeah, he's more of an art guy than a...
What about Quincy Jones?
Quincy Jones is a good one, too. Also a bit of an ageless wonder.
Yeah, I kind of liked... I like that idea. That's kind of like old school versus new school, right?
Old school versus new school a little bit. What about Rick James?
Rick James is a good one. I kind of like two hip hop guys though.
Yeah.
Like Dr. Dre against
Dr. Dre v Pharrell, two signature hats.
Two signature hats. All right, you want to do it? You want to lock them in?
Dr. Dre they're evenly matched.
And he's also on our bad guy line. But as far as producers, Dr. Dre isn't as bad as a lot of people, which speaks very poorly.
That's true. Honestly, we're talking about people who are very prominent in society and on the whole, not total monsters.
Get better billionaire producers.
Yeah.
Stop having your own islands for human trafficking.
Yeah.
Ryan Singer.
You hear that? Mel Brooks or potentially Mel Blanc. All right, guys. So
Mel Brooks has his own private island, but just for other old comedians.
We like to go there. We like to slip and fall.
it's funny.
Then a lady walks by with big gazooms, and you got to go, whoa!
Gazooms. You don't have to, but I mean, who wouldn't?
Very funny.
You're just talking about Key West.
yes.
Yeah, he doesn't even know. Exactly. Yeah, he doesn't own the island. It's just,
there's
a place like that.
Okay,
so the question before us is, who would win in a fight between Pharrell and Dr. Let's give him nicknames. Fanged Pharrell.
Yeah.
And he's got fangs, you know?
Blah.
Yeah,
he's
sure.
He's got draculitis, I think.
He does have draculitis.
All right. Well, what is it then, smart guy? What's a Pharrell nickname?
No, honestly,
Pharrell has
got to
be his nickname.
Pharrell Fangs Pharrell.
Yeah, he really does like he's like a vampire. He's ageless.
He's got fangs. Also got those fangs.
Yeah,
and Doctor in parentheses ? Dre. So who's gonna win?
Your gut instinct says Dr. Dre, right? Because he's like a more...
Dr. Dre's coming out tough.
Scarier presence for
one of the originators of gangster rap. He was in that. He was living that life, you know? And Pharrell is literally like...
A Sprite.
Like a woodland being. Motherfucker had a huge hit called Happy.
He did have a huge hit called Happy. Dr. Dre kind of strikes me as more of like a Captain Falcon type, you know. He also is, I think, has gotten more. He's one of those like older dudes now who always wears like a black turtleneck, but you can tell, much like Dave Chappelle, that there's like quite a bit of definition in his
crazy jacked for no reason.
Reason. Absolutely. Yeah. Dr. Dre has some.
A reason. I'm sure there's still like one loose thread out there who said that they would come for him someday.
Yeah, Suge Knight's still alive, so that's why you get jacked.
He is still alive. Pharrell, on the other hand, I think he really is coming off as a Fern Gully
Gully vibes.
But I think his strength is in that kind of magical idea though. He's not a bruiser. He's distorting your perception. He's cutting. He's editing. He's jumping around.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's also like everywhere. Like he's
also
like
present.
Dr. Dre has for the most part kind of like kept his, you know, his discography mostly in like hip hop and 90s rap and what have you. Yes. Every once in a while. He has proteges like Kendrick Lamar and what have you.
Sure.
But Pharrell did rock.
Sure.
He also is just like a huge, has crossed over into mainstream like pop culture as
well. Yeah, absolutely.
And no,
numerous hits.
And also I remember the other day, because they finally retired, was like one of the main producers on Daft Punk's last album, remember?
Yeah.
In like 2015, 14.
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge hit. That was a huge deal.
Truly. You know? He's got a bit of a Ron Howard thing going on himself. You know, when I think of Pharrell, the first person I think of, do you know Ron Howard?
Yeah, exactly.
You guys,
exactly.
I think you'd get along. But in that, you know, same but different in that not so much changing, mm-hmm. but everything at once, you know, able to adapt, able to be like Sam said, he's everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is. And like, I don't know, like in the same way in like the Marvel universe, it seems like they really can't hurt Thanos or mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah.
You mm-hmm. know, like they expend all that energy, or like Ozymandias mm. in, you know, 400. What was that movie with the Spartans?
400. The sequel.
300.
The 9 million.
300.
The 300, I believe.
Like they, you know, like he's like a golden god type character, and how mm-hmm. it takes so much energy just to like nick him, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like he's coming out with some heavy element. He's heavily magical for sure.
Heavily magical, but by that same token, Drace heavily physical, you know.
And yeah.
if he gets a hold of this kid, because I'm looking at, I went to Kid Facts for Dr. Dre over here, mm-hmm. and more than anything, I'm just staggered by these pictures that, as you guys said, he's wearing like that black producer's t-shirt, and my dude is ripped. Pharrell,
yeah,
my
yeah.
god, keep moving.
he's always been 27, and he's never. He's always been exactly 150 pounds.
Yeah.
Like, but like the man, yeah, I just gotta look at a couple pictures of Pharrell. Cause like it seems like he's become more golden.
Well, and Dr. Dre, we know the man's capable of violence. He's been accused of violence. He's been accused of,
he's gonna hit someone with a car.
That's on those facts for kids.
Yeah, this is facts for kids. he's not above, you know, maybe sticking a gun in somebody's face or having somebody else do it.
Dude, you know what Pharrell looks like? He looks like a lynx. He looks like a lynx. He looks like a lynx, and he looks like a sphinx.
I think, as you said, Pharrell is definitely highly, highly magical.
Yeah. We just realized Pharrell is the Mona Lisa.
He's definitely Pharrell.
He is.
Pharrell is bringing real, you know, like a Wizard of Light and magic vibes to this, kind of a Robin Hood figure. Dre's trying to swing, trying to use what Dre knows from the streets, you know, trying to like, you know, face me, stop this. What is it? What are all these tricks? You know?
Yeah.
And I don't think he gets it. I think Pharrell is going to be around.
Yeah. I think Pharrell's
for a while. And I think Pharrell, I think I'm locking my vote in. I think my vote is for Pharrell. I think Pharrell uses that dexterity and that creativity and that inventiveness and that adaptability comes up behind Dre. You know, death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah.
Quack, 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 quack.
Yeah. And honestly, Pharrell is still, I mean, still more, I think probably more musically relevant. So that maybe speaks to his endurance a little.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, these are going to be bard spells for sure. And
yeah,
even, the thing is, like, I even feel comfortable saying that because Pharrell would be like, hell yeah, I'm a bard. Whereas if I called Dr. Dre a bard, he'd be like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. And if you think about their weaponry and what they have, you know, Dr. Dre, I think very often he's been in a number of documentaries. You always see him. He's behind that fucking, like, you know, 50 track mixer and stuff
that
like
chamber.
That. Mm-hmm. So he's always there, you know, and he has, you know, all 50 of those tracks locked mm-hmm. in on something mm-hmm. or whatever. But Pharrell, he's not just in the mixing room. He has like a fucking trumpet hanging around. He's got like bongos. He's like has like an arcane fucking like thing that's phaser that is that
oh,
there
sure.
were only four of them made, you know,
a theremin or something. There's like a didgeridoo
guy
there.
Yeah, there's a theremin in the mix for sure.
Yeah.
You know,
All right. I mean, are we all in agreement here then?
Yeah.
I'm gonna throw out one scenario for Dre. I just thought
please, of. Please. Okay, I mean, listen, here's the thing. There are 100 scenarios in which Dre snaps this kid in half.
Yeah.
So I think he has a hard time punching him because he's a little, he's the tricks rabbit. It's very hard to sure. be severe
with
him.
He's for kids.
But Pharrell also at some point puts on his Beats by Dre. Dre hits the little buzzer, vaporizes his brain.
Yeah. There was a built-in chip the whole time.
Dre's got that kill switch.
No, he doesn't though, because he sold it to Apple.
Then
phased out.
And now fucking Tim Cook has that ability.
Yeah, I think that's what happens. I think he sold Beats by Dre to Apple, and the first thing they phased out was the kill switch. But Tim Cook still has a set, and he was putting them on at that moment. So when he tries to brain fry Pharrell, just somewhere a million miles away, Tim Cook's brain fries.
Yeah. Also, I mean, and also, like, I'll give you know, a Dr. Dre some props here. Like, his soundboard is definitely like transforming into some sort of like heavy mech.
Oh,
you know?
Shit! Like some kind of some kind of crawling fucking like spider.
Yeah, just or I'm thinking more blocks, like a Megazord of some sort, you know?
Sure.
But Pharrell, all he has to do is just sort of like electromagnetic pulse.
He is the one. He sees the notes, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
He understands music just in a way that Dre cannot. He stops the blast. He stops the blast in midair and turns it back with a sweet remix.
And then just goes like, I'm fun.
Yeah. I'm fun.
Yeah.
Check out Pharrell Facts for Kids.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Ding, ding, ding. Pharrell takes it. Heavyweight producer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. An upset. Honestly, I thought it was going to be Dre. And furthermore, that turntable Mac. Honestly, if that had come in maybe two beats earlier, that might have swayed my vote, because that's
two beats by Dre earlier.
Yeah. Danny, thank you so much for joining us on the pod and for joining the damn squad and producing these episodes. Good luck with this one.
Yeah. Whoa. Here, things work a little bit different over here in Eastern Standard Time. pretty wild. Actually, wait a minute. Jordan,
the most standard of times.
Your mountain.
I'm in mountain, the most fantastic of times.
And?
I'm in Pacific.
Pacific? Okay, so we're represented by everybody except for Central Time. And but honestly, God love them.
Yeah, hey, they're trying out there. Where can people find you on the web, Danny?
You can find me at Danny Feltz on Instagram and Twitter. I would say I probably use Instagram more than Twitter these days.
I prefer it.
And then also me and my friend David Bradley Eisenberg, we also host a podcast together called Ponzi Scream, that is about white collar crime and white collar crime. And it's like Planet Money if it wasn't run by spineless loser.
Hell yeah.
So if you want it, so we do that, and
no worries,
you got
your fingers in this podcast now too, so you can if things slow down over there, we'll never we don't even know how to write. Oh god, well it's now time to hand the podcast over to Danny for editing.
Every day I put my fingers in warm water.
And he's got draculitis, there we go,
and then directly into podcasts.
I am vaguely European. Where am I from? Who knows?
Dracuvania. I, of course, am Razor Lou all over the internet. I'm on the Instagram. I'm on the Twitter. I'm on the Twitch. I'm also part of a D&D show every Monday, 8 p.m. Mountain Time, twitch.tv/betterthanheroes. Get over here and check that out. It's a Spelljammer with comedians. It rocks. How about you, Sam?
As always, you can find me on Twitter @VoteSamWiles, and I'm always yelling about something stupid. And you can also check out my comedy album on Spotify. It's called Regular Guy Out of Hell. So
heck yeah.
Do that.
Do all of those things. This is us. This is the squad. I think that does it for this episode of Fight Island. Why don't you count us down there, Sam?
1, 2, 3.
All right, break it up. It's all over for Fight Island.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.